Continuing with the Beyond Clean COVID-19 Impact Series, today we are speaking with Gary Sokola, president at High Power Labs. Gary, I know you're very busy during this time trying to come up with solutions for the industry and being very much involved. So I appreciate you taking a break in your busy day to come talk to us.
Well, we really appreciate the offer. And at High Power here, we think what we're doing, giving back to the industry, helping out a little bit here on respirators and face masks, is extremely important for us to do.
Right now, the focus is on the shortage of PPE for healthcare providers to be able to protect themselves. What has the government been doing recently?
Well, Justin, that's a very good question. And this is a very fluid topic that seems to be changing almost daily. But I can give you a recap here over the last month. So the Trump administration released U.S. stockpiles of N95 respirators that had exceeded their manufacturer designated shelf life. NIOSH did a study, and in their study, they found out that these were not negatively affected as long as they were stored as the manufacturer directed. The CDC went to the FDA and requested an emergency use authorization. In that authorization, the FDA did grant them the opportunity to use certain general use industrial respirators during the pandemic. These respirators have to be approved by NIOSH, but they just don't have an FDA 510K clearance like the healthcare models. The FDA also authorized the use of some imported respirators and masks from Australia, Brazil, Europe, Japan, Korea, and Mexico that are not NIOSH approved, but comes with approval from those countries. Also, the Trump administration negotiated the reopening of a Sterigenics ETO contract sterilization facility in Georgia for the sole purpose of sterilizing PPE necessary to combat the COVID-19 pandemic. The CDC has been clarifying the various emergency use authorizations almost on a daily basis, and they've added clarification on the use of non-powered air purifying particulate respirators, reusable respirators such as elastometric half and full half piece respirators, as long as these are approved by NIOSH, and other powered air purifying respirators approved by NIOSH. Just recently, the FDA issued an emergency use authorization for the Battelli Critical Care Decontamination System for use at the Battelli Memorial Institute. This is basically a vaporized hydrogen peroxide decontamination process that can be used for the reprocessing of compatible N95 respirators that would otherwise be disposed of after a single use. Now, these can't be used if they're visibly soiled, nor is this process compatible with any cellulose-based materials. Those of us in healthcare are familiar with the Sterad and the Vipros from ASP and from Steris. Those also cannot have cellulose-based products be run in them. But I've heard through the grapevine that those companies, along with TSO3, are also doing some testing about the reuse of respiratory masks and respirators. So that's a little bit of what has happened on the federal level in the last 3 weeks.
And Gary, what's going on from the manufacturer side?
We've been contacted by a number of manufacturers that are looking to have their sterilization processes validated for the reuse of respirators, industrial food processing plants that are using carbon dioxide and other types of sterilization processes we don't typically see in healthcare for the sterilization of masks and respirators. As a matter of fact, I got home Saturday evening late and the front page of my local newspaper said, "Helpers from home industry filling mass shortages." So the article discussed a network of private individuals and doctor's offices here in the Rochester area that were working together to make cloth masks with a pocket inside for a replaceable filter. I don't recommend anyone uses a cloth mask in this pandemic. Data suggests that those actually can allow as much as 40 to 97% of the particulate to make its way through the fabric as compared to 95% of particulates being blocked by an N95 mask. However, what I found interesting in this particular article was a medical device manufacturer had actually donated CSR wrap to another manufacturer in the area who was actually turning that into a makeshift overmask. Sterilization wrap is actually a class 2 medical device. So many times a manufacturer will have data on its testing according to some of the tests that are required for an N95 mask, like bacterial filtration efficiency or splash resistance. So if I was given a choice to have fabric mask or some type of an over mask with a FDA cleared sterilization wrapper, I think most of us would choose to use a sterilization wrap.
Excellent, Gary. Well, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your insight here. And I wish you all the best of luck. Thanks for being part of the solution.
Thanks, Justin. You have a good day.